made it. On the left, you'll notice a coin slot. Insert dollars only, please.
Welcome back to Take No Prisoners on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy. Thank you for joining us. We're starting our second hour of Take No Prisoners. We've had an interesting first hour. Folks, we had a lot of different music to share with you tonight, to each one designed to deliver a little message per segment, and we're going to work those kinks out for the program next Sunday. But I am thrilled that you're joining me. My apologies to whoever is on hold. I know we've been inundated with calls tonight, and I'd like to have a conversation with someone who attended the Law Merchants Conference last week. His name is Jimmy, and he has a fascinating story to tell us about a case he was involved in, something we can all learn from, because this is a topic that is on the minds of many, many people who either are serious players in commerce or even those who dabble. And this is about monetization of negotiable instruments. Jimmy, are you there?
Hi, Sam. I am.
Hi, Jimmy. Thank you for joining us tonight.
You bet.
So, Jimmy, you were involved in a case, in a brief summary, basically, you were under the gun from a couple of different agencies, and you felt you had to make a move. And what's the move you made, Jimmy?
I decided to go and enter into a Chapter 13 bankruptcy action.
Chapter 13, United States bankruptcy. Imagine that. Jimmy is bankrupt in the bankruptcy. You've got to be really bankrupt to be bankrupt in the bankruptcy, Jimmy.
That's true.
And so you did this for what reason?
Well, the Alphabet Soup agencies were moving to levy contract income that I had with different firms.
So you wanted to delay things?
Yes.
Yeah, and that worked. You were in there. Basically, you put the straw man in as a debtor, as its trustee. Is that correct?
Yes.
And we spoke about this months ago, and I just said to you in passing that if I were in, there are a lot of good things you can do in bankruptcy court as a debtor. But if I were in, I'd want to be in as a creditor. You recall that conversation?
I sure do.
Well, why don't you help our audience here? What would you do now if you...
America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. In a short time this morning, we're going to have Dr. Dalia Wasfi on the show. If you are not familiar with her, this is your opportunity to learn more about this very fine person. She was born in 1971, spent her early childhood in Saddam Hussein's Iraq until she returned with her family to the U.S. in 1977. She graduated from Swarthmore College in 1993 with a B.A. in biology, and from the University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine in 1997. Years later, she visited Iraq to see her family in Basra and Baghdad in February and March of 2004. And more recently, journeyed to Iraq for a three-month visit, returning to this country in March of 2006. Based on her experiences, she's speaking out against the negative impact of the U.S. invasion on the Iraqi people and the need to end the occupation. You can find her website at www.liberatethis.com. It's a very, very fascinating website because it gets at the bottom of some very, very serious things that are going on in that part of the world as it relates to the American occupation of Iraq and the utter madness that is developing in terms of the larger implications of American foreign policy in the region. As far as corporate news is concerned today, the lead story at CNN.com deals with the reconstruction of Iraq and the fact that these projects are being slammed. The United States is spending $37 billion on Iraqi reconstruction, and yet according to CNN.com this morning, poor construction, improper design, substandard materials, and lack of maintenance plague 7 of 8 U.S.-funded reconstruction projects in Iraq that were recently reviewed by the Inspector General for Iraq reconstruction, and that is according to an Inspector General report. You know, it becomes very, very significant, doesn't it, as we look at this whole situation with Iraq, that the ongoing circumstance continues to worsen. When we come back, we'll be with Dr. Dalia Wasfi of LiberateThis.com. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by
telephone. Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
is Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are joined today by Dr. Dalia Wasfi, who was born in 1971, spent her early childhood in Saddam Hussein's Iraq until she returned with her family to the U.S. in 1977. Dr. Wasfi graduated from Swarthmore College in 1993 with a B.A. in biology and from the University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine in 1997. As I mentioned at the top of the hour, years later, she visited Iraq to see her family in Basra and Baghdad in February and March of 2004. More recently, journeyed to Iraq for a three-month visit, returning to the U.S. in March of 2006. Based on her experiences, she's speaking out against the negative impact of the U.S. invasion on the Iraqi people and the need to end the occupation. And as I was mentioning at the top of the hour, you can find her website at www.liberatethis.com. Dr. Wasfi, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Yes, you know, there's so much to talk about here in the next couple of hours. I really don't know where to begin. Maybe we can start with the fact that, of course, I'm acquainted with your mother. I met her when I was running for the U.S. Senate in Delaware in the year 2000 against Tom Carper and William Roth. Mm-hmm. Your mother at that time was the head of the League of Women Voters in Dover. And curiously enough, as one looks at your biographical history and hers, perhaps it's worth noting that your mother is of an Ashkenazic Jewish background and your father is an Iraqi, correct?
That's correct. We could talk about that for 3 hours at least.
Well, yes. And, you know, in terms of that whole situation, how does that play out in terms of the perspective that each of your parents have on this present Middle Eastern situation, both as it pertains to Zionism as well as this current American military involvement in Iraq?
Sure. Well, my mom grew up in a traditional Jewish household, which for that time was a traditional Zionist household. My grandparents, her parents, had fled their homeland of Austria during Hitler's Anschluss, and they made it to the U.S. to start a new life. And all they knew of Israel was that it was to be a homeland for the Jews to escape persecution. What they didn't know was that the indigenous people, the Palestinians, were being ethnically cleansed to make room for European Jews. So that my mom had a limited perspective growing up, but then when she met my dad and other Arab students, when they were all graduate students in Washington, D.C., I mean, the story goes that her statement was, well, you know, what's the big deal? It's just a little piece of land. But then the reality of the genocide of the villages and the ethnic cleansing came to light. So my mom really got an education there. And so that there was more of a split between my mom and the rest of her side of the family, but having experienced the bias here in the U.S. and racism as Arab Americans here, we're all kind of on the same page that there's a major injustices, and until those injustices are rectified, there will be no peace.
Do you find that your mother's own biography in this regard might be an indication of what could be perhaps a developing or coming split within American Jewry on some of these questions?
I think it's definitely out there, and it's very difficult to, if you follow the mainstream media, it's very difficult to get a sense of how people really feel. But in my speaking engagements, by far, there's I hear from people, and it's not an official study or anything, but there's a lot of people who said, oh, you know, I'm really glad you said what you said about Israel, because I encourage people. We've been so well trained to fear criticizing the policies of the Israeli government, fearing the charge of anti-Semitism, but I make it very clear that it's not. It's not anti-American to criticize the Bush administration's policies. It's not anti-German to criticize the policies of the Third Reich. And it's not anti-Semitic to criticize the racist policies of the Israeli government. So I think as more and more information comes to light, that more and more people are realizing that that somebody else is guiding our foreign policy, and that needs to change if we're going to maintain our own security.
Well, you know, one of the things that maybe this is a bit of a diversion, but one of the things that really strikes me as I watch this American presidential situation coming up, I look at many of the statements that have been made by McCain and Giuliani and Romney on the one on the Republican side of the aisle when it comes to this whole question. And then, of course, on the other side of the aisle, you have Clinton and Obama and Edwards as the chief Democratic candidates, at least for now.
Right.
And it seems to me that when I read the statements that some of these people have made before a variety of Jewish-oriented groups, including the American-Israel Political Action Committee, it seems that they're pretty much reading off of the same page, which has been the page that most of these major party candidates have been reading off of for, lo, these last 50 or 60 years. And yet I'm sensing when I talk to a lot of average folks here in San Antonio, Texas, or elsewhere, that off the record a lot of them are saying, you know, I'm really beginning to rethink this because, as you know, this is involving us, meaning the United States, in a way that's a lot deeper in its implications than maybe I've recognized before. Do you think that maybe this this situation that's been going on with this war in Iraq since March of 2003 has created more dissonance for the average American in terms of our present policy in the Middle East than maybe has been the case before?
Absolutely. I think that, we can certainly flesh it out if you want to, but I argue in my talks that the occupation of Iraq is an extension of the occupation of Palestine, and the whole so-called war on terror is really just a smokescreen for American and Israeli aggression to control the resources of that part of the world, namely oil. And as the House of Cards that was built by, well, the weak foundation was really laid down by the Democrats and then built by the Bush administration, but it's all, there's just one scandal after another coming to light, and especially as the American death toll continues to rise in Iraq. And the majority of Americans are unhappy with how the current administration is handling things. Despite all of that, the Democrats cannot come up with a different agenda, which is very telling. Theoretically, we have a two-party system, but there's on domestic issues, there are a few differences between the Republicans and the Democrats. But on foreign policy, they tend to be right in line, and that's never been demonstrated better than if you look at the history of speakers addressing the AIPAC convention, as you mentioned, the American-Israel lobby, that Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi, Hillary Clinton, now Barack Obama, stand side by side with Condoleezza Rice and Dick Cheney, stating that we will defend our ally in the region, Israel, and no option is off the table in striking Iran. So we have to ask ourselves, didn't we go through this once already with the weapons of mass destruction? And it doesn't turn out real well. So the reality is that the Democratic Party gets as much as 60% of its funding from the Israeli lobby. So are they beholden to their constituents, or are they beholden to those who fund their reelection campaigns?
Yes, absolutely. And to me, and I've just discussed it before on this show, the paradoxes of this relationship, this alliance, never seem to cease to amaze me. When I look at the fact that, very significant people in the left wing of the Democratic Party, for example, who are still very much on board with the Zionist issue when it comes to the interest of the Israeli lobby. And then, of course, we've got the well-publicized alliance between Mr. Bush and Mr. Cheney and very key figures in the so-called American Christian right that are pushing this same situation. So it seems that when one looks at this alliance, it has created a lot of very, very bizarre circumstances where people that agree on little else, in many cases, have come together to support something that it seems to me has a two-fold problem connected with it. The one you've already mentioned, and that is the fact that for many, many Americans, they have not known the circumstances that surround the original creation of the State of Israel as that relates to the ethnic cleansing of Palestinians. And then secondarily, in terms of our own selfish, more narrowly defined national interest in this country, I think more people are coming to realize that we're involved in something in that part of the world that we have not understood, that frankly threatens to engulf us.
Absolutely. And we have, again, with so many messages shaping America's views from the mainstream media, and it's a very distorted picture that we see. And there was a study done called Deadly Distortion, Associated Press Coverage of Israeli and Palestinian Deaths. And the website for that is called ifamericansknew.org. And what they found was that in 2004, it became very dramatic. Looking at the deaths overall, the Israeli deaths were reported more often than Palestinian deaths. But for children, it was remarkable that that the deaths of Israeli children due to the actions of Palestinians was reported in multiple articles, but 85% of the cases of Palestinian children killed because of Israeli actions were omitted. So we have a very distorted view in this country, and then it's much easier to sell a racist bias that the Israelis, the images we see, they're Europeans, so Americans, mainstream America, can relate more to them than to the Palestinians. And it's easier to believe that these people are terrorists, so-called terrorists, when the greatest purveyor of terrorism today is state-sponsored by American and the U.S. and Israel.
Dr. Wasfi, let's pick up on that last point when we come back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with Dr. Dalia Wasfi. You can find her website at liberatethis.com. Stay tuned.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans.
Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Mark and Foster-Erica coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Dr. Dalia Wasfi, W-A-S-F-I. You can find Dr. Wasfi's website at liberatethis.com. She was born in 1971, spent her early childhood in Saddam Hussein's Iraq until she returned with her family to the U.S. in 1977. She graduated from Swarthmore College in 1993 with a B.A. in biology and from the University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine in 1997. She has had a couple of opportunities to be in Iraq in the last however many years, including a three-month visit that culminated with her return to the U.S. in March of 2006. We'll shortly be talking a little bit about that three-month visit in regard to all of the various things that Dr. Wasfi saw and endured during that period of time, especially as it relates to the unseen aspects of American foreign policy in that country that are routinely never covered for very obvious reasons in corporate media. Dr. Wasfi, before the break, we were talking about this whole issue of terror, state-sponsored terror. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the traditional spin in the American media is that the vast percentage of this so-called state-sponsored terror has its origins in the Islamic world and its origins in the Arab community and in the Arab nations. Whereas, on the other hand, there are those who would say that state-sponsored terror has a very, very chief American and Israeli component. What's your take on this?
Well, I think that it's important to point out that extremism is not particular to any ethnicity or religion. It's a human reality. And so that extremists come up in many different sectors, and it would be as unfair to characterize Christianity by right-wing extremists as it is to identify Islam in the same way. But we are, it's because of the messages we see in the media, it's easier for Americans to buy into the so-called war on terror, because those people over there don't look like us. And, typically, we only see young military-aged men. And we see images that, they are very angry, and they usually have their faces covered to hide their identity. And they are marching and chanting, and they are carrying AK-47s. What we miss, what we rarely see, are the women and children. But the reality is that for any population, if you just do the math, women and children are the majority. If you take the about half every population, half male, half female, you add up the women, the girls, and the boys, and that's your majority, and we rarely see that. So it makes it easier for us to buy into that these people are not like us. But the reality is that every country is made up of families, and it's those families who pay the price of our policies, whether it's the families in the Arab world and the Muslim world, or the families here at home, for example, in New Orleans, who suffered because their National Guard and their tax dollars were in Iraq at the time that Hurricane Katrina hit.
Well, that's exactly right, and it seems to me that that brings us full circle then to this whole question of what the implications of this Middle Eastern policy have been for the United States. I've pointed out in this show many times that Mr. Wolfowitz was telling us before March of 2003 that this entire war with Iraq, including the occupation, could be wound up for $50 billion. We're now at half a trillion and counting. This, of course, doesn't even begin to get into the loss of life on both sides, including the British medical journal Lancet's report that over 600,000 Iraqi civilians have been killed. We'll be back. This is Mark Danhaus, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. You can find Dr. Daley Awasfi's site at liberatethis.com. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Teach the world to snuff the fire.
We're back. This is Mark Danfoss, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Dr. Dalia Wasfi, born in 1971, spent her early childhood in Saddam Hussein's Iraq. She graduated from Swarthmore College in 1993 with a BA in biology, and from the University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine in 1997. Has had a number of experiences in Iraq since then, including a three-month visit to that country, where she returned to the United States in March of 2006. And in a short period of time, I'm going to be asking for some of her eyewitness accounts of what was going on during that three-month visit. Doctor, we've been covering all kinds of different things here in the last however many minutes. Where were we at the commercial break?
Well, I actually wanted to bring up, because we were talking about Paul Wolfowitz saying that the war wouldn't cost too much, but that that now we're seeing the light. But it's important to point out also, it was like a perfect storm of greedy interest during the run-up to the invasion of Iraq, and that was primarily oil interests on one side. Of course, the Bush family, long history of oil business dealings, and Dick Cheney, former CEO of Halliburton, and Condoleezza Rice, who used to be on the board of Chevron. And then on the other side was the group of Zionist neoconservatives that are like the junta around Bush, and individuals like Richard Perle, Douglas Fife, and David Wormser. Now, back in 1996, Perle, Fife, and Wormser wrote a position paper for their boss called A Clean Break, A New Strategy for Securing the Realm. And in that paper, they called for three major agenda issues. Number one, cutting off peace talks with Yasser Arafat. This is 1996. Number two, launching military assaults on the occupied territories of Palestine. And number three, depose Saddam Hussein. Now, these are kind of bizarre agenda items for Americans, but they were actually part of Benjamin Netanyahu's staff, who was then Prime Minister of Israel. They were high-ranking members of the Israeli government. So Americans need to be aware of that, and they need to be asking themselves, where does their loyalty lie? Does it make sense that we have to send American troops and their equipment 8,000 miles to go defend our national security? Or do those who organize this agenda, do they have ties to someone else a little bit closer in the region? That's the reality of American foreign policy today. And all these people are now they kind of have gone back into the woodwork of the think tanks, but they're now, or they're publishing books and they're making a lot of money.
Well, you know, it does raise this whole question, doesn't it? It's a very painful question because, again, of the threat of being accused of anti-Semitism whenever it's raised. But this dual loyalty issue, I think, is a viable one to raise, particularly when you look at this project for a new American century. Mm-hmm. And you look at what are clearly the links between these key neoconservatives and top-ranking figures in the Israeli Likud regime. To me is a provable, quantifiably provable situation that underscores the fact that something is very seriously wrong. And if you add to that, of course, what we are aware of in terms of the incredible contributions of the American-Israel Political Action Committee and other related organizations to the American political process, it becomes abundantly clear that there is an issue raised here not only of dual loyalty, but an issue raised here in a situation like ours in this country, where presumably we have 2% or less of the American population seeming to exhibit an undue influence and control of American foreign policy. This raises all kinds of questions that relate to what we perceive ourselves as being politically, as opposed to perhaps what we've become. And again, I would argue that just in the last 4 years or so, the cracks in the canvas on this policy have really begun to appear as more Americans perceive that this was the wrong decision to go in there and that it was undertaken for the wrong reasons and for falsely stated reasons. And as the death toll rises and as the borrowed dollar figures continue to go up, more people, it seems to me, who connect the dots on who was behind this As that process continues, it may create more difficulties downstream for the Israeli lobby than maybe they've ever experienced before. Is that your feeling?
Yeah, and I hope that happens sooner rather than later. I mean, it's the issue is, are Americans getting their needs met before we supply the arsenal of the Israeli army? And I think people are recognizing, especially because, you know, in this country, we are all about being number one and all about winning. And so if people are not directly related, if they don't have their kids going over to Iraq, then they're upset right now, basically, because we're not winning. And basically there are no winners in what's going on there. I have contacts in Iraq who are like, you know, yeah, the Americans haven't won, but look at us. We can't say we won. They've lost their homes, their families, their way of life, their country. So it's a lose-lose situation. But as things continue to deteriorate at home and more and more scandals come to light, something else people don't like is being lied to. And it's getting harder and harder for the spin doctors to convince the American people that our government is acting in our best interest. So we just need a little more honesty and put everything on the table. In reality, we have so many needs here at home, while over $6 billion a year goes to fund the Israeli government and the status of the current occupation. Meanwhile, the Veterans Administration healthcare budget to take care of veterans came up $1 billion short in 2005. So we have to recognize that the only people who are not supporting the troops, the American troops, are the ones who've been delegated the responsibility to do so, and that's the American government.
Well, yes, and a couple of things come to my mind in this regard, as it may involve a future grassroots American backlash against this Middle Eastern policy. One, as you've pointed out, is the VA healthcare crisis. I wasn't aware of the figure of a $1 billion shortfall there, but of course, in general terms, I've been very much aware of the media controversy that's been generated by the situation at Walter Reed Military Sure. Hospital in Washington, among others. And then you also get into this whole issue of mass participation, legitimately distributed participation in a war in this country, if it happens, the notion that everyone is sharing the burden equally. I don't think anybody believes that at present. And the other day, George McGovern had a very interesting op-ed piece for the L.A. Times where he and the Democratic Party had both been accused by Mr. Cheney of all of the usual things in regard to the foreign policy of this country. And McGovern was pointing out quite rightly that he, Mr. McGovern, volunteered for the Army Air Corps at the age of 19 in World War II. That he had flown 35 combat missions, I believe, in B-17s or B-24s, one or the other. And McGovern had been awarded the Distinguished Flying Cross. The senator, I think, was quite rightly pointing this out only because of the implications of Mr. Cheney that McGovern was, of course, allegedly a pacifist and was a radical leftist and all of these other things for not supporting the American war effort in Iraq, much as he had not done so in Vietnam. And McGovern was saying, hey, look, I have valid reasons for my feelings in 1972. I have valid reasons for what I'm saying now. There are a lot of connections between the two situations. And as long as we're getting into the whole business of military records and war records and bravery under fire, he said, I will contrast my record with Mr. Bush's and Mr. Cheney and will do so on a favorable basis. And to me, as more Americans look at this, I think this is going to be another additional bone of contention as more of our own kids die in this situation, as the false circumstances surrounding our invasion of that country, Iraq, continue to be repeated in more and more places in both mainstream as well as alternative news media. And as the American public looks at this and goes, hey, our leaders not only lied to us, but a disproportionate number of people in this administration who are involved in this policy have never even served in the military, and none of their kids are bearing this burden.
Absolutely, absolutely. Those individuals who conspired to attack Iraq, which was, of course, attacking a country that was defenseless, and we knew it was defenseless, they have never experienced combat themselves. And through the work that I do and have done in the last few years, I've had the opportunity to meet a number of veterans. And you talk to any one of them, talk to anybody who served in combat, and ask them what they think of war. And that's why there are groups like Vietnam Veterans Against the War, and also now, although very early on in the struggle, there is Iraq Veterans Against the War, IVAW.org. And this is a group over 400 strong now of young men and women, but they are wise far beyond their years. And they are calling for immediate unconditional withdrawal of American forces from Iraq. They're calling for taking care of the troops when they come home with their benefits, and giving reparations to Iraq and the Iraqi people. And this is it's the media. The media's responsibility was to be a watchdog of the government, and instead of asking questions about the American policy, they funneled us the lies. And this is so they are to be held responsible as well. And there are many pundits on the air today, such as Bill O'Reilly, who are very pro-war, but he didn't serve in the military either. So we have to find the credibility of our sources.
Well, yes, and talking about Bill O'Reilly for a moment, I find myself as a member of the anti-war American right feeling far more comfortable with looking at Congressman Ron Paul of the 14th Congressional District here in Texas, who has been consistently opposed to this war, consistently opposed to funding it. He, like his counterparts in the left, is pushing the idea very hard that we simply need to get out of this situation and to get out of it now. That position, of course, contrasts completely with the sort of thing that one is going to get from Bill O'Reilly on Fox News. And yet, of course, many people have pointed out that when it comes to Fox News, that the ownership of Fox News, represented by Mr. Murdoch, has a very deliberately and very slanted pro-Zionist perspective, not simply at Fox News, but with other media outlets, print and electronic, that Mr. Murdoch controls. Isn't this a part of this equation as well?
Absolutely. Not so fair and balanced. Not so much.
Yes.
But that's the other tie into that is that if you look at the connections, there are corporate connections. It's corporate-controlled media, and many of those corporations have ties to defense contractors. For example, during the first Gulf War, General Electric owned both NBC and McDonnell Douglas, a big defense contractor. So if you sell war in the news, then you make more money through your other subsidiary. And this is, herein lies the problem. There's a tremendous conflict of interest. It's not like nobody's getting hurt here. People are losing their lives at an alarming rate when you factor in that the Lancet study came out in October 2006, estimating that 655,000 Iraqis had died in excess. That this is over 6 months ago now. So we're talking about close to, if not over, a million Iraqis dead in a four-year time frame. Now, we look back at how we were goaded into this war, and we were told that Saddam Hussein was a ruthless dictator. Well, he was. There's no arguing that, which is why we shouldn't have been dealing him chemical and biological weapons back in the 1980s. But the reality is that the high estimates of his killing sprees were 300,000 over 30 years. And we've now more than doubled that in less than four. So this is the reality of the horrors that we have unleashed on the Iraqi people, and we cannot wait for our government to make up for it, because they're not going to do it. We, as Americans, have to take the initiative to make up for what's been done in our name.
Boy, I tell you, that's an absolutely incredible figure, contrasting the 655,000 civilian deaths that are chronicled in the British Lancet Medical Journal of 6 months ago, and then, of course, to consider Saddam Hussein's 300,000 killings over a three-decade-long period. And the other thing, of course, which I think you've hinted at, which I will perhaps underscore just for emphasis, is that from 1958 onward, Saddam Hussein was an ally of this country's, or I should have this say of this country's government, and that Saddam Hussein, going all the way back to 1958, I found it incredible when Richard, reading that Richard Sale, the intelligence correspondent of United Press International, had written a story a while back showing that in 1958 the CIA had hired Saddam Hussein to kill the then prime minister of Iraq. And this started a very long relationship with American intelligence, apparently, that culminated certainly between the in the Iran-Iraq War of 1980 to 1988, when as far as all of the casualties of that war are concerned, the United States played a very definite role in bankrolling Saddam Hussein and arming him militarily and basically using him as a surrogate of American foreign policy in that part of the world. So this is something else that has conveniently been dropped out of mentioning in corporate media in the United States, is the fact that Saddam Hussein, some of the worst things that he did were done under the sponsorship of the United States at the time he was doing them.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's, you know, it's ironic that the crime for which he was executed was the death of 148 men in a city that took place in 1982. And the image that has been seen around the world from Iraqi television is Donald Rumsfeld shaking Saddam's hand December 20th, 1983. So this is what happens. These people that we support tend to come around and become our enemies, but we created them.
Not to mention Mr. Sharon's activities in 1982, which he will never be tried for. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos America coming to you live on RBN from San Antonio. Stay tuned.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
We're back. This is Mark Anthos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Dr. Dalia Wasfi, W-A-S-F-I. You can find her website at liberatethis.com. She is also involved with speaking engagements for an organization entitled Global Exchange. Dr. Wasfi has a B.A. in biology from Swarthmore College in 1993. She graduated from the University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine in 1997. We've been discussing American policy in the Middle East, specifically as it relates to Iraq, and we'll be shortly talking about some things that relate to her last experience in traveling in Iraq prior to March of 2006. I wanted to warn our guests as well as our listeners that this is historically a time when we have a series of frequent commercial interruptions in the next 10 minutes or so. And then we'll have a longer period of time for more extended conversation. You can support the Republic Broadcasting Network by contacting us at www.republicbroadcasting.org on the web or giving us a call at 1-800-724-2719. That's www.republicbroadcasting.org or 1-800-724-2719. You can also order Aaron Russo's new DVD, America, Freedom to Fascism, for $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling by giving us a call again at 1-800-724-2719 or using the World Wide Web to find us at www.republicbroadcasting.org. I would also like to mention at this particular juncture, of course, that Mark Glenn of American Free Press joins me on Fridays for at least an hour every Friday morning. To cover all of the major stories of the previous week. Mark is in the process of doing with the American Free Press a major series of stories on the USS Liberty tragedy. And one of the things he mentioned to me the other day was that he wanted Dr. Wasfi's contact information because he wants to get Dr. Wasfi on a couple of Dr. Hesham Talawi's shows, both his online television show, which you can find at currentissues.tv, and also Dr. Talawi is also on the Republic Broadcasting Network on Saturday evenings, and I know that Dr. Wasfi would make a very fine guest on both of those shows, both the online TV show Current Issues, as well as Dr. Talawi's broadcast on this network on Saturday nights. Mark Glenn, by the way, if you need to contact him, can be found at the American Free Press at yahoo.com or give the AFP a call at 1-800-699-NEWS. 1-800-699-NEWS, either in terms of ordering a subscription to AFP or contacting Mark Glenn if you have a question or concern for him. And, of course, several of Mark's books, I understand, are now being published by the American Free Press, and that's certainly something to take a look at in coming days. You know, as we look, folks, at this whole business of corporate media as well, Dr. Wasfi has really been underscoring the fact that we have not received the truth from mainstream media in regard to what has happened to Iraq, what has happened to American foreign policy in that region. Corporate interests and defense contractors and Zionists all play a role in that. When we'll come back, we'll try to get back to some truth again with her. This is Mark Gantos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned for Dr. Dalia Wasfi. We'll be back.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing how to protect your wealth against this